Hey, honey, want to try something different this weekend?
Ooh, what do you have in mind?
Have you ever role-played before?
You mean like whips and all that other scary stuff?
Oh, no. I'm talking about rolling some dice and playing some Dungeons & Dragons. Or even trying something like a cool new board game or a collectible card game like Magic the Gathering.
Oh, that sounds way better than the other thing.
NobleKnight.com is your one-stop shop for all things role-playing, board, wargaming, and collectible card games. Noble Knight Games is committed to providing you with the best possible selection of new and used products with a selection of over 100,000. Everything on the site is in stock and ready to ship to you worldwide. Discounts are available, and you can expect reasonable prices for rare items. You can even sell or trade your stuff to them. NobleKnight.com, where out of print is available again.
So I can be the elf this time, right?
Oh, honey.
Throughout the ages, there have been heroes and warriors who have embarked on quests to save faraway lands and free the people from would-be conquerors. With dice and not a lot of common sense in various role-playing games. Today, our legends come from the halls of This Week in Geek. An unlikely group of nerdy adventurers armed with some pretty stupid ideas and a horseshoe up their butts come together to save the day in These Warriors Are Terrible. Seriously, these are the guys we're going to go with?
Hey there, geeks, geekettes, and cousinettes. Welcome out to These Warriors Are Terrible debrief edition for the Matrix D6 Classic System, otherwise known as the story called Matrix Deletion. I have been your game master, Steve Snowball Sailor, and my players for this evening, these terrible warriors, are...
Julian, I told you I wouldn't betray you, Spillane.
I'm as amazed as everyone else.
Yeah,
me
definitely.
Too.
And who are you playing, Julian?
Yeah, who are you playing?
I was playing Jeremy Radick Simons, the resuscitated hacker with luck and a fucking horseshoe up his ass.
Yeah.
Roid X.
Yeah, Roid X. And then we also have...
Erica Sailor Senshi Sabo. I played Tetra, or rather Tetris.
or a.k.a. Howard.
And you drove a fucking car.
I drove a car into a lobby, and I created a big explosion in the elevator.
And it was amazing.
I'm really proud of myself.
Michael Bay is really turned on somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm happy or not.
No, he had like three orgasms.
And he didn't have to have Megan Fox to do it.
No.
We also joined with...
I think they're called Baygasms.
Oh man.
Gasms.
And I
am Cassie Casabella Chu Chu playing Jade Sparrow Lau.
Okay. And lastly in the control room, soon to be joined in the studio.
Oh man, I was Alistair Stare. Not telling the news, making the news.
Yeah, you were, buddy.
Justin Eacock.
Hell yeah. All right,
so this has been, this is the deep
first, first, I want to say one thing. One thing, we need to give a big-ass fucking round of applause
Woo!
For Steve Sailor giving his first GMing ever. Good job, Snowball.
It was beautiful, man. It was fantastic. I loved it.
Thank you.
Never done anything like it.
It was... I am fucking terrified. I cannot tell you how scared I actually was leading up to this. I've been playing role-playing games.
He was really fucking scared every fucking day.
Every day. Justin has bearing the brunt of
Steve and I worked together in the real world, and every day I would come by his cubicle. And
you
he'd
mean
be like,
in the Matrix?
Like, yeah, in the Matrix.
The Matrix slash real world.
During my Matrix lunch breaks, I would Matrix my way over to his Matrix cubicle, and in the old green tint of the green light of day, he would be all like, I'm freaking out. I'm not ready. This isn't going to work out. I'm so afraid it's not going to work. I don't know what to do. How much should I prepare? How little should I prepare? What if they don't like the story? What if they don't want to play? What if they want to do something else? What if I'm not ready? And what if I show up and they just want to do something else and I don't want to do and I just freeze and I lock up? And he's just like, I'm like, will you just, do you like The Matrix? Are you ready to do this? How many games have you played? You're going to have a fun time. And
yeah,
I'm happy that I proved
you
wrong.
So how do you feel?
I feel great now. I am happy. Like, with
wanna
the
do it again?
You should be proud of yourself.
I totally
want
to do it again. Not tonight, but I totally want to do it again.
Me either.
It was amazing. Because the thing is like, I've been playing role-playing games for about a couple of years, off and on, more off than on. The only regular role-playing I've had is just doing these twats over the past, since September. And this is the first time I was kind of like, you know, if I'm gonna GM a game, I'm just gonna do it. And I wasn't too sure what to do. I was excited after our Dungeon Delves, which you guys have not heard yet, technically. I don't know, maybe Mike has put out a one or two. But anyway, we recorded some stuff together as a Toronto group for some of us. And
We recorded filler episodes. That the show needs filler. They're waiting in the void.
Yeah.
Maybe they've been played by the time you heard this, maybe they haven't.
Yeah.
But the experience happened for us.
Exactly. And then shortly after the Star Wars RPG, which you guys have heard about a month or 2 months ago. I can't remember exactly.
Let's not date ourselves.
Yeah. Mike Dodd had taken off and myself, Justin, Julian, and Erica went over to Scallywags, and I was like, I really want to do this. I just don't know what this is going to do. And then, thank God, Julian decided, like, he just started to look up, like, D6 systems because I liked it so much, and he found the Matrix. He found the Matrix D6, and I'm like, holy crap, yes.
Yeah, where's that rule book? Can I see it again? I'm looking for the, I want to know the author's name so that we can give that person a thank you.
Yeah, hold on, I can.
There's a full PDF, it's open source, so the D6 system, that the West End Games D6 system has been open sourced under the, under the MIT license, maybe BSD, but it's known as Open D6, and you can make your own D6 games now using the exact same rules as the old Star Wars RPG that we played.
Exactly.
And now the Matrix was adapted by...
Oh, you know, it doesn't say welcome. And then he doesn't actually.
There's
have
a tripod
name.
URL. Hold on.
It was like some sort of. Anyway, but it was a fan made system.
We'll
post
it on Twitter or on the page so you have access to the game.
Yeah. It's pretty easy to be able to find, and it's freely available. It's open source using the D6 system. There's actually two versions of it. There's a D6 Classic, and there's the D6 Legend. I decided to do with the Classic because that was the one that Star Wars is based off of, at least the one that we played. And I was so excited because for those who are longtime fans of Twig, you know how much the Matrix means to me. It is, without the Matrix, I would not be in radio, and that is no joke. And I absolutely love this series. And I was like, okay, if I was going to jump in headfirst into DMing a session, the Matrix is the perfect opportunity for me to do that. And I will admit, I was completely scared. Justin is 100% right. I didn't know how much to prepare.
I don't think I've ever seen you this nervous before, ever.
And the thing is, I am not nervous in front of crowds. I'm not nervous at performing in front of people. I've performed in front of people my entire life. I mean, the majority of the first time I ever performed acting-wise, it was in front of 3,000 people, and I wasn't nervous then. And yet for this, I was nervous because, A, it combined a lot of my storytelling skills that I love so much. I love being a writer. But the thing is, I wanted to have a great session, and I didn't want to screw up. I didn't want, like, there was so many things, because I know that those who are listening are definitely RPG fans, and I don't want to I did not want you to sort of like, oh, this guy's an idiot. You have no idea how badly this guy is a bad GM. Don't ever have him as a GM again. That was my biggest fear.
Your fans are jerks.
You
always think the worst scenario in your head. I mean, I think even Mike Dodd probably has a word to say about the session if he ever hears it. And that's the thing. Like, I even had like a conversation with Big Mike, who is our resident GM for These Words Are Terrible. And I sort of sent him the first setting that I had already created. It was kind of basic. I sort of started off as a module. And I had the first, the ghosts in the system, that was what I called it. And so the very first episode you heard, I had sent him that. And he said, you're doing nothing wrong, but he said, you're doing something what a lot of GMs, first GMs will fall into in the example of play. And he says, you had everything planned out to the T. And he says, you gotta be prepared for stuff to go wrong and stuff to not go your way. And Justin confirmed that many a times when I talked to him. I just was like, you know what? Okay, I'm just going to try to be able to come up with the best story I could. I thought of it, like, I just kept watching the Matrix movies. I watched it and I thought of a cool story that I would try to keep as simple so I can be able to get through as quickly as possible, but also have fun with, and some little nods to definitely the Matrix movies, which I love so much.
Did it play out according to your expectations, or did we throw you for any loops?
There was a few loops you kind of threw me. I definitely wanted you to have that that Neo Trinity fight in the lobby scene, which didn't happen, but it was close
it
enough.
It was a car.
But a car took its place, which was amazing. I did not expect. Let's just say
you didn't expect the car to do the wall jump, is what you mean?
No, I did not. I did not also expect you guys to be able to actually make it that far into the building. Before actually shooting
people.
On the
seat of our pants.
You would not believe like, how close you kept going. Every roll I had you guys make, I was like, okay, if you can I'm not kidding. I kept thinking, okay, if they can beat this number, do they beat this number? Just barely. I'm like, oh, damn it. I'm like, you guys kept throwing me for curveballs.
I talked a SWAT team down.
You talked
a SWAT
team down.
And they were caught. And yeah. I convinced them, what are you doing, guys? Sorry, it's just a late night. It's like, yeah. I'm just human.
Yeah.
I'm not even human.
You weren't your mouth.
No, it was actually several times. Like, even at the very beginning, I wanted you guys to be able to meet the agent firsthand. I wanted all of a sudden him to show up in the after you guys had defeated the ghosts.
The agent at the end in Chapter 4, was that the same agent that chased us in Chapter 2?
Yes.
So, okay. Wasn't sure.
So what was Phase 2?
Phase 2 was basically mass reproduction. What had happened was the way I had in my head, I mean, this, I don't know if we can sort of take this as metagaming or whichever, I don't know how to even say what this would be, but the idea I had...
The expanded universe
of the story, the stuff that the deleted scenes is that the scientist was hooked up to a system. Obviously, the scientist was the virus himself. He was a program designed specifically to be able to infiltrate hard lines. Phase one was experimentation to see if the virus that they had created would work. It obviously did because it killed Rabbit. And so now then they started to do mass reproduction. Basically, if you guys failed, all the hard lines would be cut and every single Zion would have been defeated faster. As far as the agent is concerned, the reason why that there was only one agent. My thinking was that the metacortex is, even though it's part of the machine, they had their own private agent. They coded their own private agent that was designed to work with metacortex and do its dirty work. Mm-hmm.
So going back to the death of Rabbit at the very beginning, mm-hmm. the red shirt,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You were entirely prepared that if one of us moronically went up to that hard line first,
mm-hmm.
we would have made the exact same fate as Rabbit.
The only person who would have met that exact same fate would have been Cassie, because she was a new
red
pill.
Totally believable, yeah.
It was a new red pill. You guys have had experience in the Matrix. You're able to sort of focus your mind to be able to get past it. You would have been injured.
And
like
we would
no
have
other.
Still been trapped in the Matrix, and like part you would have been hurt, but
you would have been permanently injured throughout the entire.
But if Cassie had gone first,
I
would have been dead. Or if I had tried to, I want to get a flash skill first.
That was the first biggest worry I had. I was like, okay, I know that the players could try to be able to get past it, but
you know what?
I think
ultimately
Rabbit.
We're still fairly good people. We knew Rabbit was the most injured. He had the gut wound. Yeah. He had to get back to his ship.
That's why I tried to make him as pathetic as possible.
Yeah. No, it worked. Honestly, I could smell the pee.
Yeah, it was really. Yeah, there definitely
was. I loved the ghost, and I was so convinced that the ghost and what happened to Rabbit were convinced. I thought until Julian did his amazing Neo seeing the code moment, which just a gift from the One. I was convinced that it was Rabbit that had exploded, not the hard line that had exploded Rabbit. I thought that somehow he had become infected, which meant we could have been infected and were infecting others, but I didn't actually think it was happening from the hard line side.
Mm. I'm so glad I rolled that 47.
Because we would have been completely off the trail.
You did, yeah. If you did.
And then we would have gone to another hard line and ended up being killed.
Yeah, I mean, you would have found out what what it was eventually, but you found out pretty quickly that it was like, okay, this is a virus. This is gonna be bad.
So another
even for a program, it was risky for me because if the resistance is cut out from the Matrix, the exile programs are
next.
They're next. They're on their own, and the machines would just crack down and bring order to the Matrix. And that would have been like basically the Berlin Wall. They would have just completely iron curtained the whole Matrix away from everybody.
Yeah.
So another question. Mm-hmm. How did you... So you couldn't have possibly predicted that I would try and replicate the virus into a bullet to shoot at the agent. How did you anticipate us dealing with Agent Johnson at the end? Because we would have been fucked.
We had two episodes to get ready for it. But
to be honest, I was hoping for something like that. I did not expect a silver bullet. But I did. I was hoping for at some point the agent would be, because I mean, he's not a true agent of the Matrix. He has the abilities of the agent of the Matrix, but
he's a carbon copy.
He's a carbon copy. So even a carbon copy is not perfect. And so I don't know what I would have done. Actually, I would have thought maybe there would have been a virus I would have given you from Deanna. That I could have, it was just something I could have given you that would have, I wanted to have the agent all of a sudden kind of be cut down to size.
Yeah.
So that was the plan. I just didn't know how it was going to happen. But when you came with the silver bullet, I was holding myself back from like laughing with like giggling because I'm like, hey, they're figuring it out. That's awesome.
Mentioning back to great. Diana at the club. I loved that whole scene. It was like, we were, you know, I've done Shadowrun with Twat, and I've done Star Wars. And as great as those campaigns were, they were all very much combat tactical oriented. At no point in Star Wars and Shadowrun did we actually have to gather the intel ourselves. In Shadowrun, we're given a dossier. In Star Wars, we were given a mission. In The Matrix, we were given a mystery. And we were trapped, and we had to find out where to go. We had to find the contacts ourselves. We had to learn what it was, come up with the plan. We were cut off from all of our help and all of our assets. We couldn't go to the construct and get more guns. I mean, we could get flash skills, but as a program, I couldn't. I would have had to use a hardline to do that. So, I mean, I really felt marooned, and I wasn't even a resistance fighter. I mean, I'm in the Matrix, but I got that sense like help isn't coming. We can't get backup. And it was so, even though the pacing of that episode might have been a little slower if you were listening to it, I think in the bigger picture, it was really cool to be able to have gathered all of that ourselves, go back to that apartment and go, this is what we know, this is what we're going to do. And it was so, like, it was Julian who discovered the nature of the virus. And, you know, and by some lucky dice rolls and some good choices on what skills to use. And, but still, it was, we discovered, we picked apart this mystery that you had, and you held just enough back that we had to, you know, pull back the curtains ourselves. And I just loved that. That was so great. And Diane, I was so nervous while we were in that club. Like, I'm just like, I don't want to, like, we're not ready if we have to break out into a fight. We're not ready yet. We're underprepared. We don't know what's going on. The last thing we need is to be cut off from Zion and have the machines chasing us and have the exiles chasing us. Right? Like, it's like, we just don't need more shit right now.
I was not going to lie. There was going to be complication after complication in that scene. I wanted to have that scene happen, but
I picked out where all the bodyguards were, and I'm like, this is armed to the teeth.
I was waiting for someone to say something stupid, which thank God you guys didn't.
Afraid to reveal that we knew too much about the Matrix. I didn't know who to talk to, who really was a program and who was a blue pill and who was a red pill, who was awakened, who wasn't. I didn't want the wrong person to find out because that would attract the agents. And I was sort of like, we've got to talk, like, we've got phone problems. We need to talk to a phone repair guy. We got landlines. My friends have to meet their curfew. Like, I have no doubt Diane knew who we were, that these were resistance members that were in the Matrix hacking in. But if the room was tapped and people were listening, at no point did we incriminate ourselves by revealing our true identities. At no point did we say, we got to get back out of the Matrix. We never said Matrix at any point.
And I was planning on having you guys, like, I wasn't, I was so glad that you guys didn't fight, because I was, because I would have had to cut down seriously amount of time to kind of get you guys to finish the story. But I was glad you didn't, because if you did, then, and I would, like, any time that if I was going to have cut for time, I was going to have all of a sudden Agent Johnson to show up. And he's like, you're going to have to run.
I mean, a bit of sorry, keep going.
Oh, yeah, and I was going to say, like, if you, for whatever reason, were able to defeat the bouncers in the club, or you're able to somehow defeat the agent, the bartender would have given you all the information, too.
Which we didn't. I mean, the only reason we were able to defeat Johnson at the end was because it was at the end.
Yes.
Because we knew we had nothing else to lose. So every character point, every chi point, every magic bullet, everything we had, we threw against him.
Yeah.
And even then, it took all of that to be able to slow him and then eventually stop him. And then we still had to escape.
Yeah, because if you guys fought Agent Johnson and was able to somehow defeat him.
If we had had to fight him in the second hour, knowing, I mean, you're metagaming and you shouldn't, but still, you know, we still have two more episodes to go.
That would have been really bad.
We would have
I had a plan. If you were able to defeat him for whatever reason, you would have met another copy of Agent Johnson, but it would have been an upgraded agent, which in the book is there is that.
And
so,
we would have been ruined. We would
have totally been
Special
ruined.
Agent Johnson.
Nowhere near as many character points and chi points and whatnot to throw on his ass. So we would have been screwed.
I already felt so vulnerable in the position I was in. And I think all of us were in. So to be in an even worse odds, like, I don't even, I can't even fathom it.
And that, I mean, especially you had them start in the construct where they could take anything they wanted. But no one knew that that would be the last access that you would have to the construct for the rest of the entire adventure.
Oh, I had planned that after each one, you were going to make it to a hard line and you were going to make it back. But I was like so glad. I'm like, yes, you know what? Nope. This makes much better work sense.
Keep them trapped. And keep us trapped.
Whatever we had, we had to work with. And if we didn't bring it, it was we were just trapped. And and to keep things fair, before we played, when we were picking out our equipment, I wrote on the back of my sheet the things I had in the armory, which were the four frag grenades, the assault gun, the machine pistol. So I didn't have the option of doing Deus Ex Machina, look what's under the floorboards. I had what I had.
And we had no idea what he had in his floorboards. They kept that very segmented, which is good. I think you achieved your goal in that I want to play more in this universe of the Matrix you created. It was very true to form. It felt like a Wachowski story.
I would love to revisit this. I would love to play this character again, jump into something else with you.
Really?
I would love to.
I mean, there was so much. I mean, you allowed me to have so much leeway in creating Alistair. And I think that I hope that Alistair felt like the kind of weird little renegade program that might actually be in the Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
And
I mean, Alistair, you turned into a badass at the end. By the end of it,
it was sense of survival, right?
And
that when you were fighting, when you were brawling the agent, I didn't tell you guys. The only reason why you were able to defeat him was because I rolled a 1 and then a 6 on the wild die.
So he had a complication.
So basically,
I rolled like a 13
Every other blow you made was actually connecting.
And that's what, the whole time, like, this shouldn't be possible. This shouldn't be possible as I'm hitting going, someone shoot him! This isn't gonna last! And, you know, back to Diane, though, there was, like, that conversation that you threw us into because you implied that we knew each other. And Alistair didn't remember her, but, I mean, he's a celebrity. He kind of meets a bunch of people.
And I saw it's like, she knew who you were because she's recognized
and
you on the TV.
And she makes it her business to know who the programs of interest are. Yeah. And a program that has allied himself with the Renegades. Yeah. And I had to really think why. Yeah. And I had an answer to that. I was waiting because you even got into that rant of, I hate you people. I hate what you do. You meddle. And I was just waiting for her to challenge me and why am I even bothering with these people? And the straight up answer isn't loyalty. Isn't because I like them. I'm terrified of what the free humans can do to the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
If the Matrix is destroyed, not rebooted, where the exiles have survived incarnations, destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
We're done. We're all gone.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to have it. That she was. And, you humans are unpredictable.
Yeah, and Alistair's position is telling the news and placating the population, filling them with the right amount of fear and loyalty so that they forget their everyday lives. It's sort of a little take on 24-hour media news, everybody.
Yeah,
and
politics.
He heard Neo's announcement at the end of the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knew what that was. He knew what it meant. And it meant his destruction.
Yep.
So and there's nothing you can do to stop the One.
Yep.
So at that moment, he decided to begin informing Resistance members on the news, on stories before they broke. Be a tipster. And And that's why he ended up working with the people that he did, is he's scared of what they can do, and he's hoping that if he can prove his importance, mm-hmm. that if the Matrix is destroyed, there'll be a place, a safe refuge, a harbor that he'll be able to stay in, a construct or a niche.
Exactly. My thought was he was going to end up in a construct at least
at some
point.
And he is just as self-serving as all the other exiles. Mm-hmm. He's just trying to do something that the rest of them aren't willing to do, which is bargain for his life.
Yeah.
So
I will say one thing about the Matrix RP system, that nothing to do with you, Steve, is that technical skills are OP. In that, like, by stacking, I put 5 dice in technical and then extra dice in computer programming and computer operations. Mm-hmm. I was rolling 7 dice for any computer programming thing. So, like, because the Matrix is all about, and like, I took Hack the Matrix, put all my dice in technical and assembly, which meant I could, with the right role, construct anything, and that's a technical-based skill. Mm-hmm. I was stacked in that it was very hard for me to fuck up a computer-related skill. Now, if I had been presented with an incredible feat of strength, I would have been like,
if you had to start punching through walls
or
things glass windows.
Yeah.
I was
glass.
Glad that you had that skill, because that's the thing. If we're just basing it on the first Matrix alone, not like a lot of it has to do with martial arts or just being able to shoot a weapon. There's not a lot of computer hacking skills
and
that are needed.
And as much as, you had 7D on computer whatever, I'm looking over here, you got 2D on strength.
Yeah.
So when it came to kicking in that glass door, there's a reason why you only had a 10.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, even if it wasn't a reinforced glass door as it was, but like that door right there, there's no way you would be able to kick it in. Because you dumped all your stats into MacGyvering things out of nothing. And it happened that in this campaign it worked really well, but in a slightly different setting, you would have been hosed.
Oh, totally.
And that was the same with me. I put a lot of my skills into perception and manipulation, which is why I was able to bluff my way and see things before they saw me. One of my neurals was on awareness, so I got bonuses to perception rolls. But likewise, though, when it came to feats of strength or shooting or military tactical offensiveness, that's not Alistair. The guy's a fucking newscaster. He stayed alive because he knows the right people and he knows what to say in the right moment. Yeah. It worked with the SWAT team, but when it came time to, when I was smoking the cigarette and I'm realizing I'm not just going to be able to, like, shoot him, and I'm like, hey, look over here. Look over here. As the people with the, as he's constructing a silencer behind the dumpster.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
I did not expect that to happen. I'm like, I remember thinking.
We murdered 3 people before they knew we were in the building.
Yeah, you did. What about you guys?
It was so much fun. Oh my God, my face hurts right now because I've been laughing and smiling so much. It's just been so much fun. And it's always fun playing with you guys. Always so much fun. And so awesome to play with you too, Cassie. Like, it's just, I love the Matrix to death, and I know, like, you love it even more than I do, and it's just, it really put me in that universe, and it's definitely something I want to go back to again and just be a part of, because it was, it was as intense as it was funny and just ridiculous and over the top, and I don't know, there's always that special moment, I think, for everybody.
Yeah, you guys all had like your own moment within this.
There's no weak player this game.
There's no weak player.
Like you were saying, it was a twat tradition that there was always the one player who fucked up everything. Yeah. We all fucked up at one point.
Yeah.
We all had amazing, epic moments.
Yeah.
We all got a bullet time event. And
you did. I was happy about that.
It was something else. I think this is a twat first where all 4 members of the party carried the whole group to victory.
Totally.
We really had to work together and coordinate what we were doing. If one person didn't do enough, that agent would have snapped all our necks.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about you, Cassie?
Oh, I feel great about it. I had so much fun. As I think I said to you guys earlier, this is the first time I've actually ever finished a campaign, which feels pretty damn good.
That's
achievement
awesome.
Achievement unlocked.
Yeah. Achievement unlocked, yes. Indeed. My one regret is that I wasn't roguelike enough for my taste. I should have been more like, it's like, I'm going to sneak around and then I'm going to fucking do a flip and like stab this guy in the face.
To be fair, we didn't really allow you to do that in terms of like, well, Now we've hit the alarm.
They weren't really hiding in the shadows. No. A lot of what our stealth ended up being was hiding in plain sight, costumes and bluffing.
I don't know if you thought this is the same way, but I think the moment for you was definitely hopping down the elevator, hopping back up, and then throwing the grenade. Because that's like... Yep. Like, that's kind of what a rogue would do. And I'm so happy that it sort of, in a way, it kind of worked with your character. Because you're a new red pill, you wouldn't know all this stuff yet.
I would have absolutely no idea.
You're still trying to figure things out as you go. And I was kind of happy that was just the way you played it. And I was like, ah, yes, that's so cool.
It's funny how that works out as well, just with my character, because there were a few, like, RP portions where it was sort of like, you know, so, what about you? What can you do? And I'm like,
Haven't even gotten all your flash skills yet. You haven't completed all your training.
No one had to use flash skills.
Yeah, well, here's the problem with flash skills. All they do is give you untrained skills in that category, right? So, like, they're not actually as awesome as you think they are at first. I'm like, okay, I could get a flash skill in missile weaponry, but then I would, or heavy weapons, but then I'd have to spend creating a heavy weapon.
Yeah, it wouldn't even be specialty in heavy weapon. It would be specialty in that one specific gun in that one specific category, right?
Yeah.
Like, if we had gotten to the helicopter sooner and we had to make an escape on the helicopter, no one, I think, had helicopter pilot. So that would have been a situation where if the game had maybe lasted another 45 minutes, we would have probably flash skilled someone to pilot that helicopter.
Yeah, I kind of figured no one had that. It's skill, and I was like, okay, I'll just let you guys, you just knew how to fly.
But I mean, we happened to have the basics of what we needed, and because we didn't have access to the construct, we didn't get across unique weapons. We didn't really come across stuff like that, and we happened, at least skill-wise, we'll walk in fairly prepared.
When we were all fairly balanced. If I couldn't hack, so if something that needed hacking, I could do it. If there's something that needed fucking acrobatic flips, you could do it, right? Like, if we needed to drive a car into a lobby.
We did.
I was so happy there was a car.
Failed and then did an awesome job anyway.
Yeah. You just had your head smack into the steering wheel.
So, okay, I have to ask, because, I mean, this is definitely, like, even though this is my first time GMing, I know you guys have said that I did a good job. Is there anything that I could do to improve? I know the one moment that the weakness that I thought was definitely the glass door, because I just did not know how to handle that situation.
There was that at first. We talked to you about this after the first episode too. Was just don't, like, give us a bit of mystery, because otherwise we can scheme against you.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, when you see us, if you ever see us metagaming to the extent that we did, shut that shit down.
Okay.
Like, it's easy to get carried away of being, like, trying to influence the decision of a player who's not in the room with your characters, or, like, scheming and plotting around, because you just get carried away. And you got to be like, yeah, that would be cool if you were in the same room. Sorry, right? Like, things like that. I mean, we got to police ourselves to an extent, but keeping on top of that.
And you did a good job, too. If we start doing a lot of talking, you did have us, you know, perception. People would walk in on us and hear what was going on. But, yeah, there is, like, I mean, with the glass door, I remember you mentioned that, you didn't notice the security terminal right next to it. You didn't notice the other door behind it. It's like, no, we didn't notice it because you didn't describe it.
He did describe the security terminal.
Oh, he did. I didn't hear it.
The guard motioned to it.
It didn't matter.
Like,
I wasn't in the room. So
beep boop.
Yeah, exactly.
He motioned to the keypad. I mean, we talked about it between episodes off the air. It turned out the glass door behaved, when we looked at the rules, exactly the way it should have.
Yeah.
The bullet went through it, didn't hit the guard. The crossbow bounced off. That's fine. Tried to kick it, not strong enough. Used the hack the matrix to create a wave that crumpled it. The only thing I think you were worried about was it slowed the whole game to a stop, and it felt a little ridiculous
because
it was a glass door.
Yeah. You know pretty damn hilarious.
It was really hilarious because no one was rolling fucking high enough.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
Like, and Steve, that's not your fault.
Okay.
Look at Craster in Star Wars and how shitty he was every time he got on a vehicle. It wasn't Mike Dodd's fault that I was crashing every time I got on a vehicle.
Yeah.
It was the role. And your job is just keep the flow.
Okay.
And if we're stuck behind a door, then we're stuck behind a fucking door. We still got two people down on the security desk. You still got one guy behind going like, what are you doing? Get out. And, you know, you just move it along. And don't worry. The glass door became too much of a focus, I think, in your mind. And you let it get to you.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, it was fine, and it actually ended up being the catalyst that we needed to have the most insane, shit, awesome 60-minute gameplay I think we've ever had.
I agree. That was pretty much the starting point right there for just like,
and
oh,
you
I
were
got
comfortable,
explosions,
yeah.
And fucking, point, we're just gonna kill all the guys.
I did not want to have you guys sneak through the building at every point.
I think we can all agree that final episode, you were so much more relaxed, and you were so much more willing to let things kind of not be exact when you were rolling, and that's fine. Like, here's the big secret to being a dungeon master or a game master, you don't have to add up the dice exactly. Yeah. You just have to be fair.
And I will admit, I did do that at the very beginning.
Fair can be however you really want to define that.
Yeah.
At the very beginning, I mean, the pace was a little slow, partly because you're still getting used to being in the captain's chair.
Yeah.
And partly because you're counting all the dice and spending the time adding and stuff. And I was just like, you know, it's all right to eyeball. If you look down at the dice and you see a whole row of fives, you can just say it succeeded. If you look down and you see a whole bunch of twos and ones, you don't need to add it up to know that it failed.
Yeah.
We do because we are one people, and we have to make sure that our dice rolls, because we can scrutinize that a lot more closely. Mm. Because you've got so many things burning all at once.
Yeah.
You can just keep it flowing and still keep it fair. And I think that's fair to say.
I think by the last episode,
you were totally doing that.
Yeah.
And it was so great. I mean, it didn't hurt that we were also like murdering SWAT teams with fire and explosions.
I was planning on doing that. You guys, I wanted to just mow them down.
Yeah, you were so much more comfortable. Like, I think it's just about building that confidence and that security and reassurance in your own story. Yeah.
Mm.
I think that for me, that's the biggest thing as an observer watching you GM this, is that you just need to maintain that sense of confidence and just kind of work with whatever obstacles you get, you know?
You knew your shit, but you were afraid that you didn't. You were so confident at the end, and I hope the next time you play that you latch on to what that felt like.
Mm-hmm.
That you know what you're doing and you know you can do it. And even if we come across a glass door, we're not going to care. We felt bad because we couldn't get past a fucking glass door. We didn't feel like you had made it this ridiculously impossible. I mean, it was minus 2D to go through a door like that. And no one was getting over the 25 number that you had said, this is
totally
the difficulty
fair.
That you need to beat.
Yeah. Okay.
And
I just, at that moment, I will say that I was the least confident because I didn't know how to react or what to do, because it was sort of slowed down the game, and it was a bit like I was trying to debate. I'm like,
and it's funny you say that, because then the game still took over. The rules still played out fairly, and Jimmy still did what Jimmy was supposed to do. May he rest in peace. And then he died.
Yeah. I didn't care what would happen. I just wanted Jimmy to hit the alarm. That's what I wanted to happen.
I named his pistol
Jimmy. The Jimmy.
In his name.
In loving memory.
Yeah. In loving memory of Jimmy, who I stole his pistol
from. So we're all incredibly proud of you, Steve. You did a great job. I really want to play more of this.
I do too. Now that, because I could, there's definitely plenty of stories to tell with the Matrix. And I'm sad that the Wachowskis or no one is doing anything with the Matrix anymore. There's no games, there's no comics.
Never say never. You know, people didn't think that Star Trek was going to be able to return. You know, people didn't think that we would ever see a Star Wars episode
that,
7.
I just hope that if for whatever reason the Matrix does come back in some way, that I get to be a part of it. That would be amazing to me. But anyway.
Yeah, no, I hope so too. I mean, I haven't met someone who is so moved, not necessarily by just the Matrix, but you don't get into the philosophy of the whole, it makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you just love how happy it makes you, and you love the world and the creation and the thought that goes with it, and this was a really, really fun game. We talked about what you didn't do as well, and I wanted to just mention that what you did really well to help as a new DM is you started small before you started taking on more than you could chew. I mean, we went to a house and we had one bad guy to deal with. We had one guy to rescue. We had one place to get back to. We had one agent to chase us. And so you didn't overwhelm yourself with an army of SWAT guys and security officers and club NPCs at the beginning of the game. In the first episode, you started respectably where you should have. Just you kept it contained and you kept it controllable. And then as you got more and more comfortable, the scope got bigger and bigger and bigger until the fourth episode when, you know, you actually were comfortable doing it and you were, we were, it was like Nakatomi Tower. We were blowing the whole place up and it was Die Hard, man. It was amazing.
Cool. We even had a now I have a machine gun ho 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 moment with that grenade.
Yeah, you did.
I was half a second away from pulling a fire hose and jumping out a window. It was...
Well, I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. Glad you guys enjoyed my game playing, and I'm definitely going to be doing more of these.
Yeah,
I want to play another one, but this time I want to do more flips and I want to do more flips and be more stabby.
Okay.
That's what I want to do.
Right. Flippy McStabberson.
Please, Flippy McStab. Can that be my nickname? That would
yes.
make me
Flippy
so
McStabberson.
Happy.
All right.
Yes.
That could totally
please
work.
Give me another opportunity to be Flippy McStabberson. It would make me so happy.
Okay.
I would be honored.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks, guys. I hope you as listeners got to enjoy it. I mean, this is definitely the first time that sort of the not regular Tweet crew have been a part of it. And I am sad that Big Mike and Mike Dodd weren't here to sort of be part of it. And I know they definitely would have, I hopefully would have enjoyed it.
They'd love this. And if you have a chance to do The Matrix again, as much as I would love to be a part of that game, if it means me stepping out so that Mike or Big Mike can play, I mean, they really deserve to see how far you've come and the story that you've made. You should be able to DM for your DMs because that's the coolest thing ever when you get to, you know, turn the table around and see, like, look what I can do. Welcome to my world. And now
look at all the neat
I'm going to
me.
Murder you with traps. I'm going to kill you. You're like Mike Dodd and Big Mike, you're going to get chased by so many agents. You're just going to die. It's going to be amazing.
Dog pile.
Dog pile.
So one last time, who are you?
I am Steve Snowball Sailor, your humble GM. And I'm joined with...
Julian, I finally found out how deep that rabbit hole went, Spillane.
You did.
Playing as?
Playing as Radix, the resuscitated hacker.
And we had also?
Erica Sailor Senshi Sabo. I played, let's just call her Tetris.
Tetris.
We'll do Tetris.
Yeah, totally.
My awesome car feats and lobbies. Resuscitated gunsmith.
Awesome. And?
And I am Cassie Casabellachu Chu. I played Sparrow, the newly awakened. So...
Yes.
I had no idea what was going on. It was great.
You were Alice down the rabbit hole. You didn't know what happened.
Pill. That was great.
Yeah. And lastly?
And I've been for Alistair Astaire, 6 o'clock news anchor. Justin
awesome.
Eacock. Just, man, Steve, thank you for letting us be a part of your world.
Woo! Thank
and
you
I really
for
hope
it was
invite
awesome.
Me again next time.
Thank you for stepping into my world.
Thanks, guys.
all right, so for These Warriors Are Terrible, I have no idea what's going to be the next session, so you're just going to have to stay tuned. Every single week, we've got a new episode for you, new RPG system every month. You can follow us online, thisweekingeek.net. If you want to send us feedback or comment on what you thought, what you liked, what you disliked about any of these RPG sessions we play, feedback at thisweekingeek.net. And also, again, we want to thank our sponsors, offworlddesigns.com. You'll be able to get some awesome t-shirts there and cool stuff. And also NobleKnight.com. Without them, we would not be able to receive these awesome RPG books that you're going to see a lot more of in the future, where role-playing is never out of print. I should have probably looked up that slogan, whatever. So that's it. I am Steve Snowball Sailor for These Warriors Are Terrible. As always, I remain obediently yours. And remember, folks, free your mind.
The Matrix is real!
Oh my god, it's real! It's real! It was always true all along!
This is what I do.
You have just listened to This Week in Geeks. These warriors are terrible. Did our terrible warriors succeed in saving the day? Did someone do something completely insane and stun the GM into a stupefied silence? And lastly, did someone get punched square in the goodie bags? Also, are there any settings or RPG systems you'd like the terrible warriors to visit? Do you have your own shameful, awesome, or just plain silly RPG adventures? Tell us with a comment on this episode post or email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. Until next time, geeks and gamers, the dice has been put away, the books back on the shelf, and the Cheetos stuck to the floor. For these warriors are terrible!